Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 20, The Structure of the Universe, text number 37. Translation. By the supreme will of Krishna, the mountain known, is that right? 37? No, we have to read 34 also. Okay, 34 through 37. 34. Thereafter, beyond the ocean of sweet water and fully surrounding it is a mountain named Loka Loka, which divides the countries that are full of sunlight from those that are not lit by the sun. Text 35. Beyond the ocean of sweet waters, attractive land as broad as the area between the middle of Mount Sumeru and the boundary of Manasotara Mountain. In that tract of land, there are many living beings. Beyond it, extending to Loka Loka Mountain, is another land which is made of gold. Because of its golden surface, it reflects the light like the surface of a mirror, and any physical article that falls on that land can never be perceived again. All living entities, therefore, have abandoned that golden land. Text 36. Between the islands inhabited by living entities and those that are uninhabited stands a great mountain which separates the two and which is therefore celebrated as Loka Loka. And text 37. By the supreme will of Krishna, the mountain known as Loka Loka has been installed as the outer border of the three worlds, Bhur Loka, Bhuvar Loka, and Svar Loka, to control the rays of the sun throughout the universe. All the luminaries from the sun up to Dhruvaloka distribute their rays throughout the three worlds, but only within the boundary formed by this mountain, because it is extremely high, extending even higher than Dhruvaloka. It blocks the rays of the luminaries, which therefore can never extend beyond it. Purport. When we speak of Lokatraya, we refer to the three primary planetary systems, Bhu, Bhuva, and Sva, into which the universe is divided. Surrounding these planetary systems are the eight directions, namely east, west, north, south, northeast, southeast, northwest, and southwest. Loka Loka Mountain has been established as the outer boundary of all the lokas to distribute the rays of the sun and other luminaries equally throughout the universe. The vivid description of how the rays of the sun are distributed throughout the different planetary systems of the universe is very scientific. Sukadeva Goswami described the universal affairs to Maharaj Parikshit as he had heard them from his predecessor. He explained these facts 5,000 years ago, but the knowledge existed long, long before, because Sukadeva Goswami received it through disciplic succession. Because this knowledge is accepted through disciplic succession, it is perfect. The history of modern scientific knowledge, on the contrary, does not go back more than a few hundred years. Therefore, even if modern scientists do not accept the other factual presentations of Srimad Bhagavatam, how can they deny the perfect astronomical calculations that existed long before they could imagine such things? There is so much information to gather from Srimad Bhagavatam. Modern scientists, however, have no information of the other planetary systems and indeed are hardly conversant with the planet on which they are now living. Maganata manandasa gananshana salakaya chakshin militam inat asmai shigarve namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitami Nabhutale Sai Rupakadamayam Dirati Svapadantikam. Well, because this knowledge is received through the disciplic succession, it is perfect. Perfect knowledge. Modern scientists, modern people, modern academics, they like to speculate about things. In fact, if you go to, they want to hear your opinion. If you try to give them the opinion of the Bhagavatam, they're generally not interested in that. They want to hear your opinion. And this means that basically all the academics, they're simply a bunch of speculators. They pontificate, it's like this, it's like that, but what it actually is, they have no idea. Yesterday I was looking at the abstracts. As I mentioned last time, I'm going to participate in one academic conference for the Association of Heterodox Economists. And yesterday we got the email of all the abstracts that were submitted for that. And so I was browsing through that, and it was it was disgusting, actually. It was simply mental speculation. That, you know, why is this, all the problems, and they're trying to relate it to this and that, and Marx, and all these crazy ideas. Anyway, that's the nature of this this material world. These material scientists, they're called Maya Pritigana, one whose knowledge is stolen by illusion. So, of course, they have their ideas, and they're very proud of their ideas. I wrote to Srila Prabhupada when I had just a new devotee, one letter where I was inquiring from Prabhupada about making some test, some experiment to prove the validity of Bhagavad Gita. And I suggested that we can use from Bhagavad Gita. It says the moonshine provides the juice and the sweetness for the fruits. So I was suggesting that we could make some experiment like that, and then if we can show this, that the Bhagavad Gita is accurate, Hare Krishna. If we can show this, then we can convince the scientists. And Prabhupada replied to this that he says, we are not interested in convincing the rascal scientists because, after all, if they choose to remain atheistic, what can we do? He said, our main aim is to prove that life comes from life and not from matter, and to convince the innocent public of this. So Prabhupada was not so much interested in trying to convince those persons who are very proud of their speculation, but rather he is interested in giving some alternative way of understanding to the innocent people of this world so that they had some option of understanding other than this atheistic idea that life has come from matter. So here, perfect knowledge coming from the disciplic succession. This knowledge is handed down from Krishna through the parampara, disciplic succession, and given to us in such a way so that we can understand what is what. Now, this requires faith. Really, it's a matter of faith. Where will we put our faith? Because it's not a matter of faith or no faith. Many people are putting their faith in scientists, even though the scientists, they say something which is beyond their comprehension, or maybe deliberately so. The Bhagavatam is also beyond our comprehension. How can we understand this? Of course, soon we'll have a graphic description, graphic model of this in the Temple of Vedic Planetarium, which will be very interesting to see. But even then, it's still quite beyond our comprehension. If any of you have perhaps tried to or watched Sariputta Prabhu's videos where he attempts to explain all this, even you watch it with his good explanation, it's still quite beyond the comprehension. Huh? You have to study this to actually be able to understand what's what. So, where do we put our faith? It's really a question of faith. In one sense, it's really insignificant or not significant. What's going on? What's the structure of the universe? The real significance of it is to give us the orientation to this world, so that we can understand our place in it, how it's working, and so on. Beyond that, all the details of how it's how it's structured, these are not so significant. In our day-to-day affairs. So it's a matter of faith. Where will we repose our faith? Everything requires faith. Everything that, from the time that we're children, we learn to have faith. We have learned faith in our parents. First of all, we trust them. Perhaps you can remember when you were a child and perhaps your parents, your father was teaching you how to swim. And that took some faith, huh? You're standing on the edge of the pool and he's in the water and he's telling you, jump. That takes a lot of faith because, child, you're completely dependent on him. And so with faith in him, you jump. And then he teaches you. Because of this faith that we have in the Father, then we can learn how to swim. So in the same way, disciplic succession, the Lord and his representatives, they're giving us so many different aspects of knowledge and understanding. And we won't really be able to get it unless we have faith. And it's based on that faith that the understanding can actually develop. Yasya deve prabhaktir yata deve tathagaro tasyaite katitahyarta prakashante mahatmana. Unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master, all the imports of Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed. Imports means those let's say things that are not explicitly stated but can be inferred by what one's reading or hearing. So they're not explicitly stated. This means vijnana. This means realization. Explicitly stated are so many things, but the realization of that, the deep understanding of that, this is not something that can be obtained by simply reading the words. That deep understanding and realization is given by Krishna, is revealed by Krishna when he sees the surrender or the faith of the devotee. So, having faith in this, then we move forward, we progress in it. Even if perhaps we don't understand, we don't reject it, we have faith, we move forward. And gradually in time, then we see that everything will come together. It'll be connected. So this faith is certainly tested in this canto of the Bhagavatam. So many things which are fantastic. There's several more slokas. We're going to read about the four elephants who support the entire universe. That's a stretch. We remember when this canto of the Bhagavatam came out that there were devotees who just could not accept the things that were there. Or even when 1969, when they supposedly landed on the moon, Prabhupada was saying, no, they didn't go to the moon. And some devotees at that time, because Prabhupada was so adamant about that, some devotees, they left over this. So there's a test of the faith. Faith will be tested. To what degree is your faith? How strong is your faith? And by surrendering to that faith, then we will find the support of the Lord. So Prabhupada writes, that faith means acting. It means you have to you take action. If a person, say a father tells his son, you can do this, I have faith in you, and the son will act, then he can learn as a result of that faith that was put into him by his father. And we have so many experiences of this by Srila Prabhupada. Huh? He had faith in these young disciples. He would send them all alone with very little training, without anything. They would go and open up temples in various places based on simply the faith that Prabhupada had in them. Because Prabhupada had faith in them, they had faith in Prabhupada, they were actually able to be quite successful in their endeavor. They didn't have any fear. Oh, who will take care of me? How will I survive? And so on. And we hear, sometimes we read the memoirs of some of our leading devotees. In those memoirs, we hear these wonderful stories about things that are beyond imagination, that how Krishna, he took care of the devotees in many miraculous ways even. that somehow or other, whatever they needed would show up. There's one story I remember about Vishnu John Swami. What was it? There was some fellow who was, the Maharaj, he was chanting, he was doing some kirtan. And one fellow who came to sit nearby and listen, and he was very captivated by the kirtan, and he was somehow or other, I forget the details, somehow or other anyway, he had a pair of shoes, and Maharaj needed a pair of shoes, and they just happened to be a perfect fit for him. So this young fellow, after hearing the kirtan, he gave Vishnujan Maharaj his shoes. So many stories like this. What did his shoes, so much money, whatever, so many things, huh? So if we place our faith in Krishna, this means to act. Prabhupada said that you take some risk for Krishna. You put yourself out there and you depend on Krishna with faith that he's going to take care of you. And then you'll see, once then you see how Krishna does indeed take care of you. Then from this, you develop great faith. Your faith becomes much, much stronger, becomes very solid, to the point where actually you become fearless. This is fearlessness of not having any anxiety. How am I going to be maintained? What's going to go on? We understand. Krishna is the maintainer of everyone. Prabhupada writes that one should not confuse the source of their income with the source of their maintenance. We apparently are all maintained with money, but actually, where is it coming from? It's coming by the agency of Krishna in so many different ways. And so we should understand that Krishna, he's maintaining all of us all the time, and we should have faith in that. That regardless of wherever we go and whatever circumstances that we're in, somehow or other, we will find that life will go on. So we take some risk, we make some endeavor to push on this devotional service, this teaching of Krishna consciousness to others. And then we see how this movement has grown from Prabhupada's beginning. Of course, how much faith he had coming to America with 40 rupees, an insignificant sum, even at that time. With no idea how he's going to be maintained. But somehow or other, because he had faith in his spiritual master, he said, I never felt alone. I always felt the presence of my spiritual master. So with faith in his spiritual master, faith in Krishna, everything is grown. So we should also endeavor to put ourselves in a circumstance where we're depending on Krishna. One very wonderful way to do this, of course, is by going out on book distribution. We have no idea who we might meet, but if we pray to Krishna, please send some soul who's looking for this knowledge, Let me find somebody who's looking for this. Then we hear so many wonderful stories from book distributors. How people come and they didn't want the book or whatever, and then later on they read it and they come back and they thank profusely. This is exactly what I was looking for. So this way, all of us have come to Krishna consciousness. We got some book from somebody. And by the mercy of those devotees, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we are able to take up Krishna consciousness and make progress. So by the mercy of Prabhupada, we got Krishna, and now we have to extend that mercy to others, to extend ourselves, to endeavor somehow or other, to rack our brain, to think about how we can introduce Krishna consciousness to people, to give them some connection, to find a little spark of perhaps interest or attachment or devotion, and then fan that into a blazing fire. So it's all depending on faith. And this faith, after a while, becomes actually, it goes beyond faith. It goes, becomes to, what? A solid realization. No longer faith. Yes, Krishna is there. It's not faith, not that I have faith in Krishna, but I know Krishna is there. So the purport, the import of the Vedic knowledge is revealed. So many experiences I have, therefore I know Krishna is reality. He's taking care of me. I know he's taking care of me. And then with that faith, then we're able to go on and accomplish so many, many things. Discussion. Yes.
I was wondering if maybe you would think there's a difference between blind following and faith. Like, for instance, if you tell me that the universe is held by four elephants. I mean, I want to argue with you, but not because I have great faith in Krishna necessarily, but just, it just wouldn't matter to me. Would that be blind following, or would that be because I have all this faith?
Yeah, a very good question. Blind following means not using one's discriminating intelligence. Now, as far as the four elephants go, there's no way that one can test that statement. You can't look in your telescope. There's no astronomers telling us, we saw an elephant out there in this space. There's no way to test that. So it doesn't apply there. The idea is to use your intelligence in a way that you can, where you can discriminate. For example, there's so many charlatans who will say, I am God. So one may say, I'll give you an example. There's one fellow in India. He would touch electricity, electrical circuit, with 10,000 volts running through it. And he didn't die. So everybody's saying, oh, he must be God. He's advertising himself as God because he can touch 10,000 volts. Well, for the innocent, foolish, and naive, they may accept him as God, but one who has discriminating intelligence can understand, well, okay, that's nice. Well, can you lift the Govardhan Hill? You know, can you marry 16,000 wives? Can you create 16,000 palaces? Actually, if we have just a little bit of education, perhaps you've seen the Van de Graaff generator, this big ball, right? And you touch it, and people touch it, their hair stands on end. You can run 100,000 volts through your body. So volts is not really that important. What's important is amperes. And so you can have a lot of volts, but you have to be very careful with the amperes. So blind following means not to apply one's intelligence, simply to accept the faith. Now, we don't go out generally, maybe, well, we used to, you know, go out and distribute these fifth cantos of the Bhagavatam. It's generally not our leading statement is, you know, there's four elephants holding up the universe. This isn't the way to attract people to Krishna consciousness. Rather, we try to explain things that are within the ability of our discrimination. Okay? Who am I? Where have I come from? What's the nature of this world? How am I here? So Bhagavad Gita is explaining this world, how it's working, how we happen to be here. So one then can apply their intelligence with discrimination and, you know, with reason, accept those things. But if somebody's advertising themselves as God, then we say, okay, well, that's fine. Show me some proof. Exercise the intelligence of discriminating. Yes, God may come among us. Krishna was here once before. He looked like a human being. What did he do? He showed his potency as the Supreme Lord. So therefore we don't accept blindly like that, blind following, but we use discrimination. Is that okay? As far as this canto of the Bhagavatam, gradually this faith is built up to where when we come to statements of the Bhagavatam like that, that there's Shishi Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. Yeah, the four Gajapatis, the best of the elephants who are supporting the entire universe. Now it says they're responsible for maintaining the planetary systems, however that happens. Anyway, by the time we come to the fifth canto, we should have developed sufficient faith to where we can accept that. You know, perhaps we've heard the story, the example of the Narada Muni who was telling his one Brahman, I'm going to the spiritual world to see Narayan. So is there anything you would like me to ask him for you? And so the Brahman said, yes, please ask my Lord when I will be liberated. And then he also saw one man who was a cobbler, considered a low-class profession. And he told him the same thing. I'm going to spiritual world. What would you like me to ask the Lord? And he said, how did it go? Did he ask the same thing?
Same thing.
Yeah. When will I achieve liberation? So Narada, he gets to the spiritual world and he inquires about these different devotees. And the Lord says, regarding the Brahmana, it will be many lifetimes for him before he comes back to me. And regarding the cobbler, this is his last life. So when, and the Lord said, so when they ask, you know, what was I doing? And you tell them I'm threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. So Narada comes back. He sees the Brahman first. The Brahman inquires, oh, what was my Lord doing? Oh, the Lord was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. Ridiculous. How can that happen? That's ridiculous. And when will I go back to him? Many, many lives. Ah. He didn't believe anything. So then when he went to the cobbler, he told him, the Lord was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle, and the cobbler said, oh, my Lord is so wonderful. Ah, imagine how he can do that. That's so amazing. And the Narada says, well, how can you believe that? He says, look at, he picks up a banyan seed. Look, my Lord can put a huge tree in this little seed. So for him to put an elephant through the eye of a needle, this is insignificant. So faith. That cobbler, he had faith in the Lord. He can do anything. But the Brahmana, he didn't have faith. So in this case, it's not a matter of blind following. That faith is developed already. When that faith is developed, then one can accept the potency of the Lord in many different circumstances. So that's the difference. Blind following means not to apply one's intelligence or discrimination. And having faith means understanding that faith develops gradually. And as when the faith becomes strong, one can accept any of these seemingly fantastic things, because one realizes the actual potency of the Lord. Okay? So faith means acting. You have to act. Do something. If you don't act, you don't have much faith. So do something. Go out and put yourself in a situation where you have to depend on the Lord. And this will be a wonderful experience for you. What can you do? Go open a temple somewhere. Don't take any money with you. Just go to a foreign city. Open a temple, depending on Krishna. How much faith? That's all then. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.